Is the app economy starting to slow down? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio. Apple just announced big changes to its App Store, or at least to the business workings behind it. The changes are a response to some long-standing complaints by its developers. With me live for more is Marketplace's Sabri Benishar. Sabri, first, tell us what problems Apple is trying to solve here.
Well, it's hard out there for an app, Molly. It's very hard if you're an app developer to get noticed, and it is hard to make money. There are 1.5 million apps on the Apple's App Store. The search function isn't that great. It'll show you apps that you already have. And developers say it's just hard to cut through. And these days, we are kind of at peak app. There have been 75 billion app downloads since the App Store began. And recently, the growth in new app downloads has slowed down significantly. The majority of phone users download zero new apps per month.
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just about developers. If apps aren't making money, Apple is not making money off of them. So what's the long-term plan to deal with all this?
Right. So the changes, the plan, for the apps having a hard time getting noticed issue, the big thing Apple's doing is just saying, okay, you don't like search. Well, you know what? You can just pay us, and we will put your ads in search results. So paid search ads. For the apps not making money issue, they're allowing and even incentivizing more apps to become subscription-based, where users are charged monthly. I didn't realize this, but only certain categories of apps have up until now been allowed to be subscription-based, things like dating apps or streaming media. And under the changes, you can have games be subscription-based, too. So you're probably going to see many more apps asking for your credit card and charging you monthly off into the horizon.
That sounds great, Sabri. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Today, lawmakers are considering changes to the federal Pell Grant program. That's the one that helps millions of low-income students pay for college. But the program has a projected surplus of nearly $8 billion. So a U.S. Senate committee is looking at a way to use that money to make Pell Grants available to students all year long. Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports.
For eligible students, Pell Grants used to be an option 3 semesters a year. Then it was 2.
Congress had to cut the budgeting in 2011.
That's Kim Cook, Executive Director of National College Access Network.
This old idea that students attend for a fall semester and a spring semester and then take off for the summer isn't well suited to today's students.
Expanding the Pell could give roughly 1 million students an extra $1,600 on average. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say that could boost graduation rates and limit student debt. Lauren Asher is president of the Institute for College Access and Success.
There's an opportunity to do much more.
Asher is among critics who oppose a provision in the bill that would cut $1.2 billion from the surplus and move it out of higher ed.
Right now, the low and moderate income students who rely on Pell Grants are facing the highest debt levels.
Asher says the maximum Pell Grant of about $5,800 covers less than a third of the cost to attend a public four-year college. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
As if tipping were not confusing enough, the table math, whether to tip on drinks and tax, how much to offer at all. Restaurants from New York to San Francisco have been experimenting lately with including the tip in the cost of the meal. But now some of those same restaurants are going back to the old way. Sally Herships asks how diners feel when the recipe for eating out changes all the time.
Should the tip be included or not? At Freak's Mill, a Brooklyn restaurant, after a dinner including steak tartare, diner Suzanne Kaminsky says yes.
Just because it's so nice, you know what you're paying for, you can walk out and whatever.
But her husband Joe is sitting across from her.
Two sides of the coin. If you get a bad waiter, now fortunately we like this guy, but if you didn't like him, you know, what can you do?
At Freak's Mill, gratuity is included, but some local restaurants that have been experimenting with the same strategy have recently begun stepping back. Russell Weiner teaches marketing at NYU's Stern School of Business. He says diners like to feel like they're in charge.
People like the discretion, right? Because it gives the opportunity to reward excellent service and penalize terrible service.
Weiner says there could be another problem, too. Henrietta Morlock is sitting at the bar at Freak's Mill.
I was a waitress in London, and at the end of 3 months, or if someone left, all the tips got put in a pot. They got split. Well, I never saw one tip.
Weiner says diners want to know where their money is going. But he says the biggest issue by far is how we perceive prices, like when the price on the menu for a steak includes the tip.
and it looks more expensive, right? What used to be a $30 meal now is a $36 entree.
A lot of the problem with including the tip in the overall price can come down to perception. Maury Schweitzer researches human decision-making at Wharton.
We've all had great experiences and less good experiences in restaurants. And if you have a less good experience in a restaurant that stopped tipping, it's easy to make the attribution that, oh, they weren't really trying because they weren't getting tipped.
Even if that's not the case. But most of the diners I talked to at Freak's Mill were fine with the policy.
So have you taken a look at the menu yet?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have taken a look, and it looks fantastic.
Besides, they were focused on another decision.
I'm going to have the seared scallops, please.
In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Finally, the eternal question, how many laundry detergent pods is really enough? Procter & Gamble now says you probably need two or even, and this is a big change in the laundry pod industry, three of them. P&G makes Tide pods. Competitors say that by recommending up to three pods per load, the company is clearly just trying to increase sales, which, as it happens, have been a bit slow. In New York, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.